John Erskine described the life of a president as being like walking on a picket fence, thrilling but in constant danger of being impaled. To all of you, the regents, the faculty, the staff, the students, the people of this state, who in this first year have helped us avoid being impaled and made it possible for us to enjoy the thrills of being your first family, the O'Connells offer to you our deepest appreciation. Your acceptance of us, your help, your understanding, and your warm response has been a magnificent thing to us. The pickets on the picket fence are just as sharp and will be in the years to come. We will still need and ask for your continued help in all that we do for this institution. Rita and I feel, as we did a year ago, that being your president and your first lady is the highest honor and the greatest privilege that can be accorded anyone. We're grateful for the honor, for the privilege, and the great opportunity it offers. We thank you for all of it. There are very few things that a university can do other than award earned degrees to show its appreciation of the efforts of others and their contributions to this institution. And that one thing is the granting of an honorary, the best thing we can do is the granting of an honorary degree. We have the privilege today of honoring four distinguished persons. And I would ask President J. Wayne Wrights to make the first presentation.
On this significant day, marking your inauguration as the first alumnus to assume the presidency of the University of Florida, it is most appropriate that a great lady, Edith Bristol Tigard, whose ties with this university span 40 years, has been chosen as one especially deserving of honor. Born in Chicago within the shadow of a great university, great niece of Ezra Cornell, founder of that university which bears his name, she was destined to be the wife and helpmate of one whose roots also were educationally grounded through several generations. Her marriage to John James Tigard, son of a noted theologian and professor, grandson of the spiritual founder of Vanderbilt University, and himself a scholar, philosopher, and teacher. That marriage was a preordained union. Before coming to Florida in 1928, both John James Tigard and Edith Bristol Tigard had fruitful years of preparation for their future role at the University of Florida. Together, they served at Kentucky Wesleyan College, at the University of Kentucky, and while Dr. Tigard was United States Commissioner of Education. When her husband assumed the presidency of the University of Florida in 1928, Edith Tigard brought the priceless quality of exemplary womanhood and a sense of dedication to those high ideals and humanistic attributes which are ever the mark of a civilized people. For 19 years, she was the gracious first lady of this university, constantly adding to the smooth and effective functioning of the university in many official and extra-official duties and relations. Students like you, Mr. President, will ever associate the leadership of their revered president with his faithful wife and helpmate. Townspeople and faculty will remember her untiring efforts to stimulate music appreciation through the Civic Music Association, civic beautification through the median of garden clubs, and her leadership of the local Red Cross during the war years. So for these and many other accomplishments and qualities, I have the distinct honor and the high privilege of presenting to you, Mr. President, Edith Bristol Tigert, for the degree of the Doctor of Humane Letters.
Ms. Tigert, there are a great many who owe a great deal to this institution, but I can think of very few to whom this university owes more than it does to you for what you did in enabling your great husband to do that which was his cause in his day. Edith Bristol Tigert, faithful wife and devoted companion of the university's late beloved Dr. John, the generation of students of which I am one, will ever remember your thoughtful and gracious acts and your continued interest in them as individuals long after their departure from this campus. Accordingly, in appreciation of your university and community service, your exemplary role as a wife, a mother, and a friend, and especially for your humanistic qualities which left their stamp so well on this institution, it is my pleasure and privilege, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Board of Regents, to confer upon you the degree Doctor of Humane Letters honoris causa, together with all the rights, privileges, and emoluments thereto appertaining. Make another presentation, Dr. Delton L. Scudder, the Chairman of the Department of Religion. You may be seated if you like.
President, I present Monsignor Jeremiah Patrick Omani for the degree of Doctor of Divinity. This wise and compassionate man has seldom had the time or inclination to think of himself. So complete has been his service to others. Born and educated in early years in Cork City, Ireland, he came overseas to the New World with old world charm and the aspiration to be adopted here by a land where men are offered the expectation of transcendence and a chance to free the world of much of its despair and grief. Receiving his Bachelor of Arts and Master of Arts degree at St. Fyodor College in Illinois, he was ordained to the priesthood at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. After serving a number of years as the director of the seminary department of the Catholic Church Extension in Chicago, he became spiritual advisor to Catholic students at the University of Florida. Ecumenically minded long before the recent official ecumenical movement began, he proved for 21 years to be a tower of strength to the entire university community. Since then, he has filled the pastorate at St. Edward's Church in Palm Beach. Father Omani has achieved many national and international honors. Pope Pius XII designated him as domestic prelate in 1953. Pope Paul VI named him protonotary apostolic in 1966. With the privilege upon occasion of wearing the episcopal ring and performing some of the offices of a bishop. St. Joseph's College, Rensselaer, Indiana, conferred upon him the honorary degree of Doctor of Laws 2 years ago. The late President John F. Kennedy found in Father O'Mahony a close confidant and friend, and honored him with the gift of his trust and friendship, even as the men of the University of Florida discovered in him a loyal and discerning advocate and gave him their affection and gratitude. Therefore, Mr. President, it is with particular pleasure that I present Jeremiah Patrick O'Mahony for the degree of Doctor of Divinity, honoris causa.
Father O'Mahony, I suppose, knows more secrets of mine than any other individual. He used to be the person to whom I confessed. He is close-mouthed, very fortunately. Father, this is a great pleasure and a privilege for this institution and for me personally to recognize you in this way, sir, after the many, many years that you served this institution and its citizenry. Jeremiah Patrick O'Mahony, one of the privileges of a great university is to recognize officially the fruitful wisdom of men who bless us with voices of insight and deeds of compassion. You began your ministry by working with students, but your influence has transcended the generations. Your abilities have been equaled by your modesty and your spiritual consecration by your remarkable skill in human concourse. In recognition of your lifetime of faithful service to the institutions of faith and learning, as well as to individuals, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Board of Regents of the State of Florida, it is an honor for me to confer upon you the degree of Doctor of Divinity, honoris causa, and admit you to all the privileges and emoluments thereto appertaining. Congratulations, Father. Make another presentation, Vice President Frederick W. Connor.
Mr. President, it is my privilege to present Elvis J. Starr, lawyer, educator, and public servant. Of such excellence was his career as an undergraduate at the University of Kentucky that he was designated Rhodes Scholar and subsequently won an Oxford Baccalaureate in civil law. Relinquishing legal practice in New York City in response to our country's call to arms, he served in the United States Army in the China, India, Burma theater, earning 7 decorations and the rank of Lieutenant Colonel. After the period of the war, he again forsook active practice of his profession, this time to join the law faculty at his alma mater, where in a short time he was named dean of the law school and later provost of the university. From 1949 to 1951, he served on the Kentucky Constitutional Revision Committee. During the Korean conflict, he was twice on leave from his university to serve as special assistant to the Secretary of the Army. In 1956, he spent another year in Washington as executive director of President Eisenhower's Committee on Education Beyond the High School. And in 1961, He was appointed Secretary of the Army by President John F. Kennedy. In the intervals between these public assignments, he had become first Vice Chancellor of the University of Pittsburgh, then President of the University of West Virginia. In 1962, he was made President of Indiana University, a post he held with great success until, to the great surprise of many, he announced his resignation last July. President Starr has shown in high degree two indispensable requisites of leadership: the willingness to accept responsibility and the ability to discharge it successfully. His rich experience and varied accomplishments have made him an elder statesman in the world of education at such an early age that it is only natural that educators everywhere should be asking, what next? It is because of these great achievements and rich continuing potentialities, Mr. President, that I am honored to present Elvis J. Starr for the degree Doctor of Laws, honoris causa.
President Starr, you do us honor and have done us honor by coming to our campus. But this would not be reason enough, sir, as you well know, to grant anyone an honorary degree. It just provided a very happy occasion for us, your being here, to recognize the tremendous contributions that you have made to your country in so many ways. So, Elvis Starr, we salute your brilliant career in education and public affairs, and the qualities of mind and character which have made this career possible. Not only your great gifts of mind, your wit, and your resilience of temper, but your steadfastness, your public spirit, and your innumerable contributions to your fellow men make it a privilege to confer upon you, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Board of Regents of the State of Florida, the degree Doctor of Laws, honoris causa, and to admit you to all its rights and privileges. Congratulations, and thank you for accepting this. Presentation, Dean L.E. Grenter of the Graduate School. Dean Grenter.
Mr. President, it is my privilege to present Jack Kenny Williams. A native of Virginia, he received the Bachelor of Arts degree from Emory and Henry College in that state, and the Master of Arts and Doctor of Philosophy degrees from Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, with major studies in American history. He taught high school in Virginia and served a year as principal of the Lambsburg Virginia High School before spending 4 years from 1942 to 1946 as an officer with the 4th Division United States Marine Corps. Employed by Clemson University in 1947 as an instructor in history and government, he advanced to professor and was appointed dean of the graduate school in 1957, Dean of the University in 1960, and Vice President in 1963. In 1966, he accepted the post of Commissioner of Public Higher Education for the state of Texas. In 1968, he decided to regain a closer association with university affairs and became Vice President for Academic Affairs, University of Tennessee System at Knoxville. Dr. Williams has thus served three southern states in positions that have been highly influential in aiding those states to achieve higher quality in undergraduate and graduate education. He has served on the Executive Council and the Plans and Policies Committee of the Commission of Colleges, Southern Association of Colleges and Schools. And he has aided numerous institutions, including this one, by serving as consultant on member of a visiting committee. In all instances, his influence has been placed on the side of quality in higher education, upon true scholarship, and basic research achievement. Therefore, Mr. President, because of his great contributions to improvement of higher education in the South, I take particular pleasure in presenting Jack Kenny Williams for the degree of Doctor of Laws, honoris causa.
Dr. Williams, it's been a privilege to have you here on our campus, and may I say that we're glad, too, to have you back closer to us in Tennessee. Texas was a long way. Jack Kenny Williams, scholar, teacher, education administrator, and leader, we salute you, sir, for your contributions to higher education in the South. The range of your abilities and the extent of your leadership in university education at all levels are demonstrated clearly by the great responsibility of the positions you have held. In recognition of your extended services in the constructive efforts toward improvement of both undergraduate and graduate education and research, it is my privilege, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Board of Regents of the State of Florida, to confer on you the degree Doctor of Laws honoris causa and admit you to all of its rights and privileges. My congratulations to you, sir, and thank you for accepting this. By way of special recognition, I'm particularly pleased to have on this occasion the right to present to you several of the best reasons for the existence of this institution, and I'm happy to be able to do it on the occasion of my inauguration. I would like to recognize and present to you some of our students who have demonstrated scholastic excellence. There's been given to all of you, I hope, if not there will be, it's available, a program which lists the scholarship awards. I do not have, of course, the time to acknowledge all or even those by groups, but we have about 700 students that have been honored, and their names have been printed in this program. I wish to present them to you collectively, and in addition to those listed in the program, we also have 53 cadets who have received Army and Air Force scholarships. I'd like to ask all of the scholarship holders to please stand, if you will. Scholars, all of us salute you. And your achievement reflects the real distinction and will determine the real degree of distinction that this institution will achieve. I would add also to some who may be here and some who may hear this message that we are very grateful to the support that comes to us from private sources as well as from the Board of Regents, that support that has made these scholarships possible. We have too few. I know of no finer investment that can be made in any way than in the lives of these young men and women. I would recognize again also the winner of the Thomas Jefferson Award. This award was established in 1965 by the Robert Earl McConnell Foundation. Each year, the award is made to a member of the teaching faculty of the University College in the ranks below that of full professor. It's in the amount of $500. The recipient is chosen for his broad interest, his distinguished classroom teaching, and his exceptional influence upon the intellectual life of students. So, Dr. Langford, I would ask that you stand again and be recognized.